Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this getaway Friday, June the 12th, 2020, 6/12/2020, coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And we're going to have a very good morning here this morning on WWGH Radio. As I have been saying, I think for about a week now, there's going to be something very special going on today. Now, as many of you know, this has been our sixth anniversary week, and we've had a tremendous time celebrating the sixth anniversary of WWGH Radio. Now, no better way to end that sixth anniversary week than what we are going to do today from 10:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. As many of you know, a gentleman who was with us from the second day the station went on the air, June 11th, 2014 until April 8th, 2020, was the legendary Charlie Evers. Of course, many of you know Charlie passed away on May the 24th at the age of 85. Well, we did our tribute shows to Charlie, and we've remembered him and speak about him quite a bit here on the station, as we always will. And we are airing the Charlie Evers repeats now at 7:10 a.m., 7:10 p.m., and 1:10 p.m. But he did so much that we wanted to do a final episode of his show, which aired Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 10:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And we were trying to figure out how we could do one final new episode where we would use the great Charlie Evers theme song and be able to produce one new last episode, knowing that it would be the last new episode of the Charlie Evers Show here on WWGH Radio. And unfortunately, as things do, life goes on, our life works its way around the corner for everybody, Charlie cannot be here for the final show, so we're going to do something we have not done. As many of you know, on this station, we have had many remembrances of Charlie from people who worked here, people who worked with Charlie in the past, people who were friends with Charlie, people who've been interviewed by Charlie, and we got to kind of see Charlie the broadcaster. But one thing we did not do was take a look at Charlie the family man. Now, Charlie has three daughters, Kathy, Amy, and Angie, and a whole slew of grandkids, I think three of which, maybe four or five of which, you have heard on this station from time to time. So today, what we're going to do for the last Charlie Evers show, you could not do a final Charlie Evers show without having an Evers on the microphone. You just can't do it. So today, our guests from 10:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. will be his daughter, Amy Evers Roston, who I don't know if... I know Amy has come in here. She's been here for parties and things, but I don't think she's ever been interviewed, and I don't think she's... I don't even think she ever was on Charlie's show in an interview format. Maybe she was. Maybe I'm just forgetting this. But I don't think she ever has been. And his grandson, Brandon McAfee, who was on this show several times over the years. Brandon was on, you know, I talked to Brandon this past Sunday, and he was on with Charlie starting when he was 16 years old. Now, he wasn't on a whole lot, but I think he did four or five shows with Charlie over the run here at WWGH Radio, so it'll be great to have Brandon back on the microphone, who is the son of Charlie's daughter, Angie. So we will have grandson of Charlie Evers, Brandon, and daughter, Amy, today to remember Charlie, and we'll get to remember Charlie as a father, as a grandfather, as a person, which we have not really done heretofore, as we have talked to Charlie, we have talked about Charlie as a broadcaster. So the last Charlie Evers show today, following this program this morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon, and the guests will be Charlie's daughter, Amy Evers Rustin, and grandson, Brandon McAfee. And I look forward to that. And that's not going to be an interview. That's going to be just a conversation, because we're going to sit and talk about Charlie and just have a good time. And what a better way to end the six-year run of the Charlie Evers Show. And for all you who love that theme song, you're going to get to hear it two more times today, 10:10 a.m. and 11:10 a.m. So it will be the Charlie Evers Show today on WWGH Radio, and we all look forward to that. So now, we have some guests this morning coming up here on this particular program that are going to be a lot of fun, and I think you're going to find very interesting, because there's so much going on right now in the world. Yesterday was an interesting day here in Ohio. I think yesterday might have been retirement day. I felt that I should have retired yesterday, or went into a different position. You know, nobody ever says they're going to retire. They just say we're moving on to something else. Nobody ever says retire. Because yesterday we learned early in the day that I think after 42 years is what it ended up being, Jack Hanna, Zoo Director Emeritus of the Columbus Zoo, announced that he will be retiring, hanging it up, after 42 years, although I don't think he used the word retire. You know, they just leave those positions. He was the director and then the director emeritus. I'm not sure how that was split up over time, but has been doing it for 42 years, I believe, was the amount of time. So Jack Hanna will be leaving, but not till the end of the year. I think he's sticking around through December the 31st. So that was the big announcement that came up yesterday morning. And let me say this about Jack Hanna, because I've interviewed Jack Hanna, I don't know how many times, you know, probably four or five, six times over the years. And Jack Hanna, and this is not a knock on Jack Hanna, because I like Jack Hanna. Jack Hanna could make coffee nervous. He is just a very jumpy, has a lot of nervous energy. And anybody who ever saw him on the David Letterman show, or did Larry King, anybody who ever saw him in one of those situations, I think understood that he was very, very nervous, had a lot of nervous energy. But until you sat next to him and did an interview or were conducting the interview, you did not realize how nervous that energy really was. I don't know if he was nervous because of the interview or if he was just nervous energy all the time. I really don't know. But he's done a lot for the Columbus Zoo. He certainly went on all these national shows and gave the zoo a lot of promotion, and he will be leaving at the end of this year. So Jack Hanna announced he was leaving yesterday, and then maybe in the more shocking vein, we had our daily, well, I guess they're not daily anymore, but we had our coronavirus, COVID, Governor Mike DeWine pandemic update yesterday, and we learned that Dr. Amy Acton, who has been such a big part of this for so long, will be resigning her position. Now, she's going to be sticking around, I understand, as a special counsel to the governor. So she's not leaving totally. So I guess, I don't know if that job stays on the payroll, but I'm going to guess that job stays on the payroll. Matter of fact, I would bet the house and the car on that. That's got a nice check to it. But I don't know what's going on there, because I've heard, you know, I've read the news stories about why she's leaving. I'm not saying that they're not true, and I'm not saying that she hadn't already planned to leave and that it's just not her time, it is her time to go, and all those sort of things that I'm reading. But, you know, I would think during the pandemic, just as we're talking about numbers spiking again, that's an odd time for her to leave, I would think. So I'm not really, I think there's more to that story, and I think we will find out what the rest of that story is as time goes on. I certainly don't think Governor DeWine would have pushed her out, so I'm not saying that at all, and I don't even want to pretend that that's what I'm saying, but I know there's been a lot of pressure on her. I know that we've talked about it on this show, that her house was picketed in her private neighborhood, and I know that was a tremendous strain on her husband and her kids. And I know people have said horrible stuff about her in the news, and I know that obviously the legislature here in Ohio has tried to limit her power and do things of that nature, and she's got a lot of bad press. And a lot of people blame her for a lot of things that have happened in Ohio. I think small business people blame her and so on and so forth. And there have been protests to that effect. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I don't want to conjecture as to what the reason is, but I just think there's a lot more going on there than possibly what we have heard so far. But I think it will all come out in the wash, and we'll all learn. I just think we did not know who Dr. Amy Acton was 3 months ago, and now all of a sudden, I would venture to believe there's probably not an Ohioan who doesn't know who she is. And all of a sudden, for her to leave at this time is just strange to me. I would even be okay with it if we were on the downswing and we had a vaccine and people were being vaccinated and things of that nature. I would say, well, you know, that makes sense. I guess if she had planned to leave and was ready to leave, that's understandable. But just as things are starting to reopen, you know, we haven't really fully reopened the zoo yet and haven't gotten to the amusement parks, and for her to leave at this time, to me, announce she's leaving at this time, is just kind of peculiar. But the fact that she will stay on as an assistant to Governor DeWine, I guess, is a good thing. I think he does depend on her. I think he said as much. And we will see how that all shakes out as time goes on, as we go on down that road, as they say. But it was retirement day. Dr. Acton and Jack Hanna, two very well-known figures in the Ohio community, really on the national stage at this particular point. You know, I said I felt like I should come in here and retire this morning, because I don't think anybody really expected either one of those retirements yesterday, the announcements. And Jack Hanna won't leave till the end of the year. You know, I don't know. I didn't look at the date of when Dr. Acton is leaving, but I'm guessing it's fairly quick, because she is going to stay on as a special counsel to the governor. I don't know who the next person in line for that job is. That's going to be an interesting thing as time shakes out, for sure. 27 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio, Getaway Friday morning, June the 12th, 2020. Let's see, what else is on the agenda this morning here on WWGH Radio? Well, you know, as I've said, we have had our 6th anniversary celebrations this week, and we've had a lot of fun with that. But I still think, yesterday, as I mentioned, that nobody should come in to a radio station and shame the microwave in the refrigerator. Now, I will tell you that I have not cleaned the microwave or refrigerator, although I did get rid of the stinky stuff in the refrigerator. Stinky, isn't that an interesting word? You know, you have to find these words to use on radio that maybe heretofore you would not have used. But I got rid of that, so there is no odor in the refrigerator. Now, somebody said the other night they smelled an odor in the refrigerator. That's not true, because I have smelled it when I got rid of the Thanksgiving pie that had been in there since November, that pretty well cleared up the odor. But it was an interesting night because somebody for the first time, I believe, saw the microwave and saw the refrigerator and all of a sudden thought we were nuts here for not cleaning those out. Now, I'm all for cleanliness, but I don't necessarily know that it's my job to clean the refrigerator and clean the microwave. I don't think I've ever used the microwave in the history of this particular station. So I don't know why I would be cleaning out the microwave. And to be honest with you, when that person opened up the microwave on anniversary night on Wednesday, I had never seen the inside of the microwave. I did not know there was anything inside the microwave. And I looked this morning. I didn't even look that night. I did look in the microwave this morning, and it's not really that bad. It looks like somebody had one of those, pre-packaged, what do they call those meals? Pre-cooked, ready-to-go meals that you just put in the microwave and heat up. That's what it looked like. It looked like one of those meals might have been in there and maybe got a little too hot and went over the top. But again, it wasn't my meal. I don't really eat those meals. And if I did, I certainly would not have brought it here to eat it. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And I don't think that I should be put on the spot for that. So that's my opinion at this particular juncture. Now, we have a special guest coming up here momentarily that I know you're going to like. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been quite a while since we have visited with this person, but it's the perfect time to visit with this person with things going on as they are in the world. And being the 6th anniversary week, why not visit with this person? It's the right person to visit with. And I think we're going to have another visitor this morning as well that I think you also will enjoy. These are two people who are always enjoyable. That's what I like about this particular situation. So I believe momentarily here, now that we are half past the hour, we are going to be joined by this particular guest. And I love this particular guest. We have had a lot of fun over the years. And you know what? I think this might be the guest coming down the pike right now. Let's see here. As we continue on this morning on WWGH Radio, during our 6th anniversary week, we have a very special guest on the line. The links that people will go to be on this show are quite amazing during our 6th anniversary week, and this guest, who has been on this show many times, will prove that. So let's go to the phones, and we'll see if the guest is there. Caller, are you there?
Hello, everybody. How are you? And good morning, Scott.
Oh, my goodness. Legendary Cubs baseball broadcaster Harry Carey coming to us this morning. Harry, you don't normally get up this early, do you?
No, you know, I'm usually right in the middle of a hangover. Even though I'm in heaven and the beer is very cold and there's no penalty for getting a little bit wasted up here.
Well, you know, Harry, we all want to know, because one day we all are going to go to the great beyond. What is heaven like?
Well, it's just beautiful. I mean, you have a wonderful God up here, and you have baseball 24 hours a day, and I broadcast for the Angels, of course, and it's just always sunny. You never get a rain out here, and it's just beautiful.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, what is the phone system like in heaven, Harry?
Well, there's no problems with cells. Everywhere is a good cell.
And the signals are good.
Oh, very good. Very strong. You always get 10 bars. And speaking of 10 bars, I was in about that many last night.
So, there are places where you can get libations in heaven.
Oh, definitely. Listen, and the beer is always cold. You know, you go to that other place, beer tends to be a little flat.
Well, Harry, I know from heaven where you have been since, I believe, February of 1998. You've been there a while now.
Yeah, well, you know, with eternity, it's like only being here for 5 minutes.
Blew right by.
That's right. Listen, there's a lot of people up here that I hang with. Ty Cobb, you know, he's up here. I don't know how he made it, but he did. You know, you got, oh my God, so many Walter Johnson and Cy Young and all of these great players that I had never met before.
Now, Harry, did you have any problem with St. Peter yourself as you were getting in the pearly gates?
Well, he did a double take. But he liked my broadcast, so I got in.
It's always good when St. Peter's a fan. That'll help you out with any problems.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, Stan Musial's up there. I know he was one of your favorites.
Yes, that's right. And Ted Williams is up here. And I've had a conversation or two with Babe Ruth.
My goodness, what does the Babe have to say?
Wow, this guy is still fat. I can't believe it. And he's still eating hot dogs up here.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, but Lou Gehrig's up here. Now he really is the luckiest man on the earth. And we got a lot of very interesting people.
And it's gaining by the minute.
Exactly. You know, you can go to any park and watch any game, and you don't even have to spend taxi money. You just appear there.
It's tremendous, Harry. Now, up there in heaven, what kind of drinks are you having?
Well, you know, they've got this concoction of stuff that I don't really know what's in it, but it's really phenomenal. And then, of course, you know, there's a Budweiser beer up here, and we've got a lot of other nice libations. So I love it here.
It sounds like it truly is heaven for Harry Carey.
It really is, Scott. It's beautiful. I'd say join me, but, you know, you might want to put that off by a few years.
I'll wait off a few years.
Yeah.
Now, Harry, the reason I wanted to have you on this morning, number one, it's our 6th anniversary week, and I was looking back through the archive, and you have been on in times when the Cubs finally won the World Series back in 2016.
Yeah.
And you had a debate. I remember this so well. You had a debate prep on this program with then-candidate Donald Trump.
Yeah, I remember that. I really liked the Donald. He was a very, very good, what would you call it, debate opponent.
It was one of the most... it made all those other debates pale in comparison.
Yeah, that's right.
Harry Carey and Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's a weird grouping of people right there.
Well, that's what... You know, that's what we do in broadcasting, Harry. We find the weirdest people we can get, and we slap them together, and we hope for a good show.
Yeah.
Now, Harry, you know, what have you heard up there from the great beyond about this COVID-19 coronavirus?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be really weird when baseball players walk. Are they going to have to say, isn't that called a leadoff?
I believe it is.
You know, they're going to have to lead off, what, 6 feet apart? They could get picked off. I don't know. How are you going to play hockey? How is the defenseman going to say? They're going to have very long sticks.
Yes, they'll have to have those long sticks.
How you going to do boxing?
Oh, man, that's big trouble.
It really is. You better have very long arms.
That's right, you better have long arms. Now, can you steal bases anymore?
Well, yeah, you can still steal up here. It's not called stealing, though.
Oh, what is it?
Acquiring.
Well, you know, everything is in the wording, isn't it, Harry?
That's right. You got to be careful what you say up here.
Now, Harry, you know, we have not all... it's strange because when baseball starts back up here in about a month or so, We don't know if there's going to be people in the crowds. It could be state to state. We don't know how this is all going to work.
You know, it's ridiculous. I don't know, but it's weird. The Cubs are already 10 games out of first. I don't know how the hell that works before it even starts. But it's going to be weird because what are you going to have? You're going to have no people in the stands? That's going to be... I mean, my Lord, you're going to be able to hear anybody. If there's one guy in the stadium, you're going to be able to hear his conversation. Do you remember when they did the problems in Baltimore, the White Sox and the Orioles had to play that game in an empty stadium?
Oh, I remember that.
Of course, the White Sox have been used to that through time.
Yeah.
So it was no big deal.
No, they've had their problems.
That's right. You got to draw.
You know, I have to go back. I did not realize that already the Cubs were 10 behind.
That's right. You know, I don't know how that works, but there's already standings in the paper. You can check them, and they just have everybody else with a zero record. The Cubs have started 10 games out.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that seems like there might be something a little hinky going on there.
I don't like that.
No. Have you talked to some of the pest commissioners up there in the great beyond?
Yeah, they don't like it either. We're going to look into this.
We're going to look into it. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, they're coming out with a new movie, 9 Men Out.
Now, Harry, being one of the greatest baseball broadcasters of all time, you depended on the fans, certainly during the seventh inning stretch when you got up and sang "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
Oh, yeah. So how would I do that today?
Well, that becomes the question. How would you broadcast in an empty stadium?
I don't know. I'd have to put cardboard cutouts of people, and we'd have to, you know, play a phony crowd noise or something. I don't know.
Think of how much better the parking will be, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd just sail in there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That would be the quickest in and out at a ball game you've ever had.
Oh, yeah. And I used to like to get out of the park and get to a bar as soon as I could.
Real? No, Harry, you did not want to get to a bar as soon as you could.
Oh, there's no sense in prolonging the inevitable.
That was just going to happen. There was no question about it. You were going to the bar.
Yeah, I just took a bullet train and got over there right away. They had my seat waiting for me in my restaurant.
You know, Harry, there's been a lot of question about this over the years. Now, how many beers would you drink in a sitting if you knew you didn't have to go anywhere?
Well, you know, I don't know if I could count that high.
Just keep them coming.
That's right. It's amazing. They never stopped. That's why I bought a restaurant, you know, so I'd always it's like a large refrigerator.
Now, you know, Bill Murray, I believe he was the one who told this story repeatedly. When he was filling in for you back when you had your stroke in the late 80s,
yeah,
he said that right under your seat was a refrigerator filled with Budweiser.
That's right. I love Bill Murray, one of the funniest men I've ever seen in my entire life. That guy could just make you laugh, giving you a certain look. But yeah, I had a refrigerator, and it was cold. And on hot summer days, I'd sit on that puppy.
Oh, that is a beautiful thing, Harry. Now, another thing I remember about Harry Carey, you used to broadcast from the stands.
That's right. And when I was with the Chicago White Sox, I used to broadcast. And one day, a big wind blew up and blew all my papers all over the place, and the fans had to get them and reassemble my entire stack of papers. It was really funny.
Now, did you really need those papers, Harry?
Well, you know, I after how many beers, you know, I think after about 6 or 7 beers, I started to need the papers.
Well, Harry, we talked about your alcohol consumption when you knew you didn't have to go anywhere, that it was unlimited. But when you knew you had to go to a game or were doing a game, what was the consumption like then?
Well, I didn't usually start till I got there. Whereas if I didn't have to go anywhere, I didn't have to stop.
Well, you know, restraint is an important thing, Harry.
It is.
My, didn't start till you got there.
That's exactly right. You know, I had to show some discipline.
Now, how did you feel by the ninth inning?
Oh, I was gone. I mean, you could have taken the farthest spot in the park, and I was higher.
That's awful interesting, Harry. Is that a broadcast technique you would pass on to young kids?
No.
No.
Because, no, it just worked for me. That's why I had those glasses. I was so far gone, I had to be able to still see what I was doing.
You know those glasses, Harry? Those were quite a trademark of Harry Carey. What was the prescription like in those things? Those were the thickest glasses I've ever seen.
My doctor would just shake his head when I came in there. And they took the lenses when I passed away and used them in the Hubble telescope. So now they could see light years beyond Earth.
Well, it's good they went to good use.
That's right.
I'm so glad to hear about that. My goodness. Now, Harry, I remember when you had the stroke back in the 80s. You came back and you'd lost a lot of weight. For all these folks who want to lose weight, do you have a good tip?
I have a stroke. Listen, my doctors put me on the very restricted diet.
Now, was it true they tried to limit your alcohol consumption?
They did, which I thought was, you know, I told them, let's not panic.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to send off the panic button when you have
a
stroke.
No, you don't, my lord.
Holy mackerel. Did you drink much after the stroke?
I drank a little. I stayed off the harder stuff, but, you know, I put Budweiser on my cornflakes, for crying out loud.
Recipes from Harry Carey here.
Yeah, that's pretty good combination. You ought to try it.
I'll work on it. You know, if I start the morning with Budweiser and cornflakes, this might be a more entertaining show.
Well, it's a great show now, so give it a shot.
Well, you know, we can only get better. There's only room for improvement.
That's right.
So, Harry, as you sit here and you look down upon us and you see that no baseball is being played in the month of June, what do you think about?
I think it's the saddest thing that I have ever seen in my life. And we're saying a lot of prayers up here for the people who have had COVID-19. What a terrible, terrible thing that has been. And you see empty parks and you see, you know, it's just pathetic. I cry every morning.
Harry, you know, obviously, if we look at the ratings, if we look at the statistics, more people watch football, more people go to football games. But why is baseball still, it's my favorite sport, why did it always stick out for you?
Do you ever notice that you talk baseball all year, but you don't necessarily do that with the other sports?
That's very true.
Unless you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But baseball is eternal. Baseball is a beautiful game, and it has such an amazing heritage. And you quote statistics all year long, and you just don't do that with other sports. I don't hear people talking a lot of basketball during the summer, but I hear a lot of people talking baseball during the winter.
Well, you know, Harry, I think it's because baseball, you do not have to sit there and watch the whole game. You can take a nap. You can get in the car and go to the grocery store. It's a game that translates well onto radio just as well as it does onto television.
That's right.
And
you talk about taking naps, Scott. Do you know how many naps I took watching the Cubs?
While you were in the booth.
It didn't matter. I turned it over to my partner, and I was on like a light.
You know, Harry, I don't. You might hold this distinction in the game of baseball, but you are, I believe, the only broadcaster during your tenure with the Chicago Cubs to have a sitting president and a sitting first lady broadcast with you in the booth.
Yeah, that's right. And one was a Republican and one was a Democrat. I just used to love that. It was a lot of fun.
We should mention what the sitting president was President Ronald Reagan in
That's
the 1980s,
right.
And the sitting first lady was Hillary Clinton in
That's
the
right.
90s.
That's a nice variety of politics.
I don't think you could have gotten them in there at the same time, though.
No, I don't think so.
No, but you were able
That would have been a little messy.
A little messy.
Yeah.
And
you want to stay away from that kind. You know, they tell you never to talk politics.
Oh, do they even say that in The Great Beyond?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, they can get, you know, we got some people up here that disagree.
Well, you know, people, have you ran into any of the great politicians up there, like Richard Nixon's up there with you?
Oh, listen, last week I had dinner with George Washington, but those wooden teeth, he couldn't have ribs. It was sad.
Oh, that is so sad, Harry.
That's sad.
Oh. So going to the Great Beyond did not fix George's teeth.
No, you know, I wondered about that. I guess he just got used to them and he doesn't want to give them up, but how you going to have a rib dinner?
Now, Harry, up there in the Great Beyond, do you still look as you did when you were here, or do you look a younger man?
I'm a lot younger now.
You're a lot younger now.
Yeah, I look like I did when I was broadcasting for the Cardinals.
Really? So you've lost a lot of age.
Yeah, I have, and my hair is dark again, and the glasses aren't as big as they were on Earth, but they're still pretty large.
So you never got back to 20/20 vision?
No. I don't know. I have to talk to the big man about that.
When did you start having problems with your eyes?
At birth.
Birth, really?
Yeah.
That's rather early.
Yeah, you know, kids have wheels on their bicycles, like, you know, training wheels. I had to have training glasses.
I should mention to the listening audience, if you're just tuning in, 51 minutes past the hour here on a Getaway Friday morning, we're chatting with legendary Cubs baseball announcer Harry Carey. Now, that may sound odd to you, since Harry died about 22 years ago, but he's called in this morning from the great beyond heaven, and, you know, we don't ask how these things are done. The phone just rings, and we take the call.
Well, like I said, we've got great service up here.
You know, Harry, who would have thought that even after you left us 22 years ago, you would still be able to comment and call in to talk shows?
Well, that's right. You know, I've been very fortunate in life and in death, and I'm having a great time up here, and nobody should feel sorry for me. I'm just having a blast up here. It's you know, if you just behave yourself, you're going to get a good reward, you know. And if you don't, so long, everybody. It's going to be a little hot for a long time.
Oh, now, Harry, since we have not had any new baseball to watch here in spring, what I want you to do, I want you to do two things for us here.
Sure.
I want you to give us, number one, give us your famous home run call.
All right, here it is, 3-2 count to Ryan Sandberg. Here's the pitch. There's a long drive. Way back. It could be. It is a home run for Rhino. Holy cow.
I love it, Harry. And this will be big. Now, I want everybody to get real close to your radios at home And because, you know, we don't have people in the stands right now, and obviously this is on the radio, but I know you're listening in your cars, I know you're listening at home, I know you're listening at your workplace. Stop whatever you're doing. If you're working at the auto parts store right now, just tell the person in line, put down the brake pads, and say, okay, we're all going to sing together for baseball here in unison, to be led by the great conductor himself, as he did in the bottom of the seventh inning stretch, I guess before the bottom, the seventh inning stretch for so many years at Wrigley Field, and even before that, at over with the White Sox, the classic Harry Carey, take me out to the ballgame, lead 'em, conductor.
All right, everybody, let me hear ya. I'm one, I'm two, I'm three, take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever come back for its root, root, root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's one, two, three strikes, you're out of the old ball game. Hi! Happy anniversary, Scott!
Harry, you are one of a kind. Thank you so much for joining us from the great beyond.
Well, see you, Scott. Take it easy and let's play ball.
Now, we've got to mention very quickly, of course, as we have said, legendary Cubs baseball announcer Harry Carey passed away in February of 1998. But doing Harry Carey for us for a long time now, all throughout this six-year period, and so many people have heard this and said, my goodness, Harry is still with us, is a great, great person. Ken Savera. Ken, how are you?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, buddy? First of all, happy anniversary to you and all of your listeners. I have so enjoyed doing the show over time, man. You are a blast, and I thank you very much for having me on. It's a great pleasure, and you have a great show.
Well, Ken, I know you're there in Chicago. How are things in Chicago right now?
You know, it's been a real tough time, man. I mean, the state's still closed down, and the riots, and you know, you feel really in unison with the peaceful protesters, but then, you know, the idiots come in and they started burning and looting, and that part of things have been really tough. And I think what the world needs right now is a lot of comedy.
I think you're exactly right. Now, I always think it's important to mention this because you do a Harry Carey like nobody. Harry, you had met Harry Carey throughout the course of your life, had you not?
Yes, I had met him on a couple occasions. One, I was in California. It was right after a White Sox-Angels game, and Harry was running, literally, if you can put this in your mind, Harry was running to his bus, and I was with a girlfriend of mine. I yelled to Harry, "Hey, Harry!" And he stopped dead in his tracks, and he went, "Yeah!" I said, "Maybe the Sox will win next year." He goes, "Oh, I hope so." And then he just got on the bus.
You know, he was a one-of-a-kind guy. I did not realize until a few weeks ago, head of sports here in Marion and broadcasting, sports director, that's what I was looking for many years for another station, and I got together, and he had been to Chicago twice. Now, he's from Ohio. Harry has no idea who he is, but he said he would go to Chicago, and during one trip, they said, let's go down to Harry Carey's, and as they're arriving there, he and his family, Harry's getting out of a taxi cab to go inside,
right?
And they say, yeah, Harry, will you take some pictures? And he stood there and he took pictures. He had entourage, and went in and sat in the bar and never left during their entire meal, just signing autographs for other people, taking pictures. And you know, this was not a young man at that point.
No, and they said, I mean, the guy just never stopped. I mean, he never slept. He would stay out all night and then go to the ballpark. I mean, I don't know how you do that over time. I mean, as many times as he did it, and there's a story in one of his books that one night he got out of a bus in a very bad neighborhood in New York. They were playing the Mets, and he went to a jazz club and stayed there all night. People are going, "Where's Harry? Is he okay?" You know, but this is the kind of a guy he was. When I met him, you could just feel the magnetism coming off the guy. He was I mean, if this guy had run for mayor of Chicago, he would have won in a heartbeat. People just loved him.
Absolutely. Now, Ken, he was aware of your impression, right?
He was very aware of my impression. There was another guy in town, I won't name him, who was doing a Harry Carey impression, but he was always doing, like, really blue material, which is what comics call dirty material. He was always doing really blue stuff with Harry on the radio. And one day, he sued the guy. And then I was listening to a show, and they said, "Well, what about this other guy, Ken Cervera?" And Harry said, "I like him. He always does a great impression, and then he says he's not me."
And that's the important part. Whenever I think it's great for the medium of radio, because obviously you can't see the person, to have somebody doing an impression,
yeah.
And I think you start off talking to the impression, but at some point you do have to let people know the person is gone, and this is not them.
And I do satire, okay? So if I'm doing Harry, I do a thing in my act where Harry drops acid, you know. Well, of course, that's a satire, and I'm not making fun of... I'm just taking Harry in a position, in a certain situation, and I'll say, "Holy cow, the scoreboard has lips! It's telling me the score's... Hey, the AstroTurf just ate Mark Grace! Holy cow, Steve, you have two heads! Why don't you sing a duet? Hey, looks like a doubleheader!" Well, of course, Harry didn't do that. So it's just satire, and he appreciated when I would do satire on him. And I always put the disclaimer in that I'm a guy doing an impression of Harry Carey instead of going on radio and saying I was Harry Carey, you know.
Absolutely. Ken, you're the best. I've enjoyed having you on 6 years, and I know we're going to do it again in the future.
Hey, Scott, I really appreciate you having me on, man. Thanks so much. You are phenomenal at what you do, and keep it going, man.
Thank you, Ken. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ken Cervera as Harry Carey. How about that? I hope that made you laugh over your cornflakes this morning. We're going to be back in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
You know, the reason I'm glad it does, signs to